BBC
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. The Scott Mills Daily.
Hiya, here is your podcast for Monday the 12th of November. On it, if you've ever been to a resort, Malia, Zante, Cavos, Magaluf, then you will love 24 years at the Tap End. That's on this podcast. It's a resort summer special. More facts or not, in real or no real. Loving the trolls, more abuse through the voice of Lawrence, and one of my best anecdotes I have ever done on this show.
Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Well, I hope your weekend was good. This is Scott Mills. I had a very weekend. It was between playing a gig in Skegness and meeting Subo. More on this in a minute. You went to see Skyfall.
Oh, it's so good. I don't want to give anything away, because I know a lot of people haven't seen it yet.
Still haven't seen it.
It was so good. All I want to say is at one point, it just seems to go like an extreme version of Home Alone. And anyone who's seen it will know what I mean.
Now, I've read a lot of reviews of it. Obviously, I've heard a lot of reviews as well. Nobody else has said that.
No.
What, so does Daniel Craig leave broken Christmas decorations underneath open windows for the burglars at
any point?
Do you
know what? You're not completely wrong.
Does he escape from the pesky burglars by building a treehouse? And then as they try and climb across, does he kind of snip the rope?
No.
And they fall to the ground?
No.
Hurting themselves once again?
That maybe would have been a good idea. But it is a bit like that. I don't really want to say much more because I don't want to give anything away, but...
Do they stand outside the front door while Daniel Craig plays a video which says, keep the change, or whatever it was,
yeah,
and then they get scared and run off?
No, they forgot that bit.
Right.
But
what do you mean then?
Well, I'm not going to go into detail.
I need to tell you about Subo and whether I got her to remake Twilight, a scene from Twilight for me.
Mm.
It was a long game. More on this in a minute.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
I really wish I had never mentioned the element on this song now, because for a lot of people it's all they can hear. And I wish I could take things back. I wish I'd never said it. I wish I could make you unhear them. But I can't. It's there now. Bruno Mars on BBC Radio 1. Hit the theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the Tap End.
At the Tap End.
Just me and you today.
Yeah.
Lads.
I've done a sort of, I suppose you could call this a lad special, actually.
All right.
Especially for this occasion. You know the time we went to Zante?
Oh, I'm not in it, am I?
In the summer. Yes, you are.
Oh, I hate this.
This has to be done.
Okay, well, this will bring back a lot of good memories for people that went on holiday this year to any of the resorts.
Yeah.
But I don't like it when I'm in them so much.
But these things have to be addressed every now and then, Scott.
Okay, well, good luck, everyone. And here is today's 24 years at the Tap End.
I'm going to take you to my 25th year at the Tap End. And
okay.
I'm now ready.
I'm ready.
As I look back over the summer just gone, I have many happy memories. It was a particularly good one. From the age of 17, I've been a regular traveller to parts of Greece and Cyprus, both countries offering much for the seasoned holidayer of a younger age. From my travels, I've learnt so much. I've learnt how to best survive in the hostile environments of places such as Malia, Kavos, Magaluf, Napa and Falaraki. And it was safe to say by this summer, I was a seasoned professional. This summer, though, the lads had decided against going on one of these kind of holidays. I was a bit sad about this, but I had to respect the decisions that each of them had come to in their own mind. However, luckily for me, Radio 1 DJ Scott Mills, MBE, had been booked to do a residency every Saturday on the beautiful island of Zante.
I was
going to get Wright involved.
I'm not an MBE.
I thought I'd subtly put that in to help you out.
Oh, sorry.
Like, if I start getting it in people's minds, then if the Queen is listening, she'll be like, MBE, has he got one
already? He should have one now.
At that point, she'll realise he hasn't. And then she'll go, right, well, let's action that.
Action it. Do you think that's how she does it?
I think so.
Action him.
Scott refused to have shirts made and made me promise that I was not going to turn up at the airport in a pink shirt with a smiling cat, which was my offer of a compromise. Do you know the one I mean?
Yeah. Is that the in-betweeners one?
Yeah, it is. The Pea Patrol.
I wasn't keen on that.
I did as I was instructed and arrived at Heathrow Airport early on Saturday morning, ready for the big day and night ahead. I did feel we looked inadequate, as everyone else at the airport was in shirts, including a hen party wearing shirts with Take Me Out slogans.
Yes.
Do you remember them?
Yeah, I do remember them.
And they wanted photos with you and everything, obviously. It was like, let the chest see the nut.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. It was, do you know what I mean?
Like, some of them are really inventive, actually.
I'm sure there's better ones out there, but I'm struggling to think of them at the moment. We weren't going to be in Zante for long. We were flying out on Saturday on an indirect flight via Vienna, DJing in the club Saturday night, then coming back the following day.
Now, the thing is, the reason we did this is because there are no flights to Zante direct on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And I need to get there to DJ on a Saturday night. So I went via lots of places, including Budapest, where I ate goulash with a Hungarian taxi driver, and Vienna and Amsterdam.
It didn't take long to get to Vienna, where we were to get a connecting flight a couple of hours later. Scott seemed to know the airport well, and we headed straight to what he called a sausage bar.
I'd been there like five times by then, this summer.
Where we enjoyed sausage and an apple strudel. He then took me to a grown-up shop of the sauce variety.
In the airport?
Yes. Do you remember that?
Yes. They have a saucy shop in Vienna Airport.
Yes.
A lot of people would have been there and know this, but I couldn't believe some of the things that were on sale once you'd gone past customs.
But you knew exactly where it was and everything.
Yeah.
You've clearly been there before.
I know the whole airport. Ask me any question about Vienna Airport, I can tell you.
It was quite weird having this kind of shop in the airport, and I did not make any purchases. There didn't seem any point. We weren't going to be in Zante long.
What were you going to buy?
I don't mean it like that. I just mean it was hardly worth it. You know, if we were there for a week or something, we probably would have stocked up.
What would you have bought for a week?
Or just some visual entertainment, I guess. No? We used to do this with the boys. I don't know. Do you not do? No.
No, obviously not.
Before long, we were back on the plane. It was an odd flight, this one, though. It was a company I'd never heard of, and all the safety instructions were given by a televised fly in German.
Do you take nudie mags on holiday with you? Or nudie DVDs?
I think if... No?
No. Wow. This is a whole new world to me.
Is it?
Yeah.
It was all a bit odd, but I took control of the situation, doing my very best to communicate with the cabin crew staff in my best German. You're still thinking about the saucy stuff, aren't you?
It's hard not to.
I was very excited. No.
Are we talking about the plane journey?
We're on
now?
The German plane now.
Okay, yeah. The one where the man was...
We're out the shop, we're on the plane, right, they're speaking German.
Yeah, everyone spoke German.
I was very excited as we approached the beautiful island of Zante. Stepping out of the plane, the heat and horrible smell immediately hit us.
It's not a horrible smell.
It's disgusting.
It isn't.
I could tell this was going to be a very good night. We were picked up at the airport by a lovely little man called Jake.
Can I do my impression of him?
Go on, then.
Hello, boys.
He was a top bloke, wasn't he?
Hello, boys. Welcome to Zante.
Who wore a boy better know cap. It was exactly what I wanted from a Zante rep. Jake was to be our go-to guy in Zante.
Hello, boys. I'm your go-to guy in Zante.
He was well-connected and respected. Between us, we had a good team set for the night ahead. Jake took us to our hotel. Me and Scott checked into our rooms and then headed to the pool. There were a few people waiting by the pool bar for photos with Scott. Often on these kind of things, I end up becoming cameraman for the evening. There's a good chance, if you've ever had a photo with Scott, that it has been taken by me.
Which should explain why it's normally rubbish.
I've become quite a good photographer for it. Unfortunately, I never really get to see my work, as it's always on other people's cameras. I'd like to think that I really have learnt a lot about photography since I've known you.
I think you start off good, and then after a certain time of night, they're really not very good at all.
But I reckon there's loads of people who must be listening to this who've had photos with you on club nights, student nights, all that kind of thing. And the photos have been taken by... They probably have my work on their camera.
In fact, you've probably got a small video, a very short one, of me and you with Chris in the background going, oh, hang on, it's on video.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, that happens a lot with you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does.
And obviously, because you're standing still and smiling because you think it's on photo, it makes for a very fun video of about 2 seconds.
But then I'd love to see some of those as well, because I could make a short film with it. It'd be great. Just your finest moments of standing there looking awkward.
Yeah. It doesn't just have to be with me. I think it could be like any person that you have a photo taken with, any kind of celebrity.
Yeah.
Right, we could just call it, oh, sorry, it's on video, and just make a whole film of them.
Yeah.
Like, in a long line of just different, oh, sorry, it's on videos.
Yeah.
Those awkward moments where you stood there for 2 moments before you realise it's on video.
I really like this idea.
That's
it could be one
idea.
Of those that if this really takes off, we could offer £250 per per clip sent in. I haven't got that kind of finance at the moment.
You can have 250 Scott Mills points.
Yes, if you send in a one of those awkward videos.
If you've got a video of you and a celebrity, the best thing to do is email it to me. It won't be a big file, because it'd be like 2 seconds.
Exactly.
scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. You're having a picture with a celeb when they haven't realised it's on video. And we can make like a whole long film, like a feature film.
No, it could be like really arty. It could be like one of those Cannes Film Festival style, like really arty shorts, I think they're called.
So if you've got a, oh, sorry, it's on video file, then send it to me, please. Thanks.
Before the gig, we headed out for a meal, stopping at a local shop on the way to pick up some glasses called Ray-Bans to complete the holiday look. We were going to the busiest club in the centre of town, to a club called Plus Club. To say I was keen was an understatement. The place was Ramo, and there was a giant picture of Scott covering the entire front wall of the club. It wasn't the best picture.
No.
It made Scott's feet look abnormally sized.
Yes. It's that picture which I had taken probably a few years ago at Radio 1, and for some reason, I mean, it's one for people with a foot fetish.
Yes,
to say
well,
that.
Yes.
It's literally...
That's exactly it.
It's literally my pin head and then a massive trainers.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can find that picture.
At the club, I was introduced to the owner, a guy called Gino, a lad called BJ, and a girl called Vicky. They all made that night quality. The gig was brilliant. The warm-up DJ had done a brilliant job. Scott caused a frenzy as he went on. It was like he was Michael Bublé or something.
Oh, shut up. Why was I like Michael Bublé?
Well, I was just amazed at the crowd's reaction, because you know what? You are wicked.
I just haven't met you yet.
But, I mean, it was a frenzy in there, man. At one point, I lost my shirt. It was one of those kind of nights.
How?
I can't remember. I think I was swinging it around my head and then just let it go. I think I thought I was Michael Bublé at one point and sort of...
I just haven't met you yet. Oh, my shirt's gone.
The night went quickly, and it wasn't long till we had to leave. We headed back to the hotel, pleased with how the night had gone. Scott headed to his room, and I headed to mine. But the trick Scott had shown me with putting a bit of cardboard in the electrical slot hadn't worked, and my room was boiling. It was too hot to sleep in, so I decided to sleep outside.
You absolute idiot.
This wasn't comfortable, so I took the decision to head back into town. There was no point wasting time. If I wasn't sleeping, it seemed right that I should head out.
So basically, I went to bed, and then Chris's air conditioning wasn't working. It was like 35 degrees. Mm. So he's like, I know, I'll go back into town on my own.
Yes.
Which is a long, dark walk.
It was bold. I found a club called Cherry Bay, where I partied till daylight, and then headed to the beach. As I watched the sun come up, I felt quite reflective.
And it was let's talk about the money situation. So how much money did you have? How many euros did you have when you
went out? I didn't have many euros on me.
Didn't have any, did you?
No, but right. I had some English cash.
Okay, so?
So I tried to negotiate with a barman there some kind of exchange rate, which ultimately didn't work out in my favour. I think I gave him something like 50 quid and I got about a tenner back in return in euros.
In euros, yeah. Well done.
It was bad negotiations, but I've never been good at that kind of thing. As I watched the sun come up, I felt quite reflective. It had been a quality night, but it was sad a load of my homemates hadn't been there. Perhaps we were all growing up now. Perhaps I was the last one left to move on from these islands. It had been the perfect weekend. However, the islands returned me with an extreme bout of Xanti flu, one that would render me bedbound and see a game of innuendo bingo against an unidentified pop star nearly go very wrong as Xanti flu set in mid-game.
I remember this.
It was all worth it, though, and meant that I would then be immune for the return visit to Xanti for round two, 2 weeks later.
I've boshed banter in Prague, I've dressed up as a Smurf, I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France, I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam, I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh, I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
The Scott Mills Daily.
A lot of people saying epic loving the trolls today. Thank you. Now, I feel that maybe I have taken this Susan Boyle thing too far, because if you see on the Radio 1 Facebook and Radio 1 Twitter, at the start of the show, I put a picture of me and Subo up from the weekend. I was like, and it's like, find out if Susan ever did the scene in Twilight. And I've been training this the whole show. Keep listening. Yeah. Coming up, the Susan Boyle story. And I feel that now, right, we're into hour three, and I feel that it may be a bit disappointing when you finally get to hear it.
Well, I'm very excited.
Anyway, the Subo story's still coming up.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, Mitch, who's been on. He says, I've got a slight problem. Oh, sorry, it's not Mitch. It's without the T, which means it's Mish. That'll be a girl called Michelle, because I've just seen her name on her email. Soz? Got a slight problem, Scott. I can't stop singing Loving the Trolls to myself. I got a really weird look in the supermarket on the weekend as I've started doing it without thinking where I am. I mean, it's kind of ruined the Drake song for a lot of people now, but it is good. You know how people can say really horrible things sometimes? They can be really hurtful. And it's all sorts of idiots from everywhere that do it, because you just can, just by clicking and writing what you want to say. You know, nasty texts, horrible emails, horrible stuff on your Facebook, or if you put a video on YouTube, the comments underneath there, or Twitter. It's just everywhere. I'm sure you get it. And people can make you feel really bad. It happens to me a lot. A lot. I know what you're thinking. You'd never think anyone could say anything horrible to me. But it does. It does happen.
Yeah, of course.
But I have a method on this show to stop me, and hopefully you, feeling so hurt and so bad about what these nasty people say. And it's called Loving the Trolls.
Loving the Trolls. We're loving the trolls. We're loving the trolls.
Yeah.
No, we're loving the trolls. We're loving the trolls.
FYI, you went too high there, just for next time.
I was harmonising.
No, we weren't, though. That wasn't harmony.
Well, don't give me abuse. This is the whole point.
That wasn't harmony. Hang on.
Loving the trolls.
That's it.
Yeah. Loving the trolls. We're loving the trolls.
Yeah, we're loving the trolls.
Yeah, loving the trolls.
Enough. Okay, so here is the latest from Lawrence. Just some abuse that I've been sent in the last 7 days or so. Like I say, it happens to me pretty much every day. Not pretty much every day, every day. Go on, Lawrence. So we've got a computer that we put the abuse through, and it just doesn't hurt anymore. Because Lawrence has a funny voice. Here we go.
I had the misfortune of listening to your show. What a load of tosh. Two people spitting at each other. Anybody who finds that funny is an idiot. You are all idiots. Go away, idiot.
Yeah, so imagine the person that sent that speaks like that all the time. Not just when they're sending out abuse, all the time.
But not just insulting you there, or me, or whoever I was playing innuendo bingo with, but
spitting
anyone
water.
Who likes innuendo bingo as well.
Do you know what they are?
Particularly like.
Anybody who finds that funny is an idiot.
There we are.
You are all idiots. Go away, idiot.
So insulting my listeners there as well.
Sounds like a song lyric, that.
Anyone that finds that funny is an idiot.
Go away, idiot.
You go away.
Go away.
No, you go away.
Go away.
No, well, you go away, though.
Go away.
Seriously?
What an argument.
Go away.
Go away.
Go away.
Go away.
Go away. On the next one?
Yeah.
Loving the trolls. Yes?
You talentless twerp.
Now, that's a good use of twerp there. Let's bring that back.
Twerp and tosh in two separate insults. Amazing.
I like twerp. That's not been on for some years.
Old you school. Talentless twerp.
Talentless twerp, that's a good one.
It's my favourite.
Here's a good one.
24 years at the tap end. The reason listeners turn off in droves. Bye-bye, Scott. Hello, Radio 2.
Bye, then. See you, then. Get your coat.
Get your coat.
Move on over. Bye-bye now.
Move on over.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Scott.
Bye. See you on 2. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye-bye, Scott.
Bye. Bye-bye. I heard this guy at the weekend. You know people you know people that can't say just bye? Like, it was, I just overheard it, and he was going, okay, darling, okay. Okay, bye. Just in a pub.
What? No, you did not.
Have you never heard anyone do that before? It's just loads of bye. It's like, he's kind of go. It's kind of, it must have been his wife or his girlfriend. It's like, okay, all right. All right, speak later.
On the subject of annoyance as well, I was in a pub at the weekend and someone went past me and they said, sorry, big man. And that always gets me as well.
I get that as well. For some reason, I
don't know why. That kind of bugs me.
All right, big man.
All right, big man.
Anyway, bye. They've gone to Radio 2 now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Scott.
Bye-bye. Now, when Si was on the show, someone would rather do something else.
I would rather poke out my eyeballs with rusty spoons and replace them with pickled onions rolled in salt while listening to Fern Cotton on repeat than listen to that.
What I like about that one is the absolute detail. The attention to detail is incredible. Listen again.
I would rather poke out my eyeballs with rusty spoons and replace them with pickled onions, rolled in salt while listening to Fern Cotton on repeat, then listen to that.
There we are. And that was the latest, Loving the Trolls. I love that one.
Loving the Trolls. You're loving the Trolls. You're loving the Trolls. Whoa.
Keep it coming, morons.
Oh, they're loving the Trolls. You're loving the Trolls.
Bye-bye, Scott.
Bye-bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Vicky's been on saying, you're right, Zanti flu is the worst. Do you remember that day?
Oof.
Oh, what is it, like 2 days after you came back?
It was a really bad one.
Because it would have been the Tuesday, and we had unidentified female pop star playing Innuendo Bingo, and suddenly you just went. Remember, you went white as a sheet.
But I don't really get ill that easily. I mean, it was definitely Zanti flu.
Definitely was. 2 days later.
A bad one at that.
Classic case. And I really did think that Innuendo Bingo was going to go spectacularly wrong, and that you were going to one or the
on
other.
On camera.
Or on camera, and possibly within very, very close range of this unidentified female pop star. Hey, Laura in Stoke. Who says, happy song, please. I've got 3 fillings later at the dentist. Oh, that's cheery for a Monday. Ugh. Next song is kind of uplifting, actually. Latch, Disclosure. And as it pours down with rain in lots of the UK today, a lot of people very much enjoying Tap End because of the summer memories of Magaluf, Napa, Falaraki, Zanti, Kavos, etc. And I'm so right about that little card trick with the air conditioning, aren't I? Everyone's tried it.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Okay, I think it's time for a little quick round of Monday, real or no real. So, you know how it goes. Some of these are uber facts, which means they're actual true. Some of them are made up by Marlon Dingle off of Emmerdale because he's got too much time on his hands. No, he just loves the fake facts. So, real or no real? Just you playing Chris today, so don't cheat on the scores, because I will be checking after the show. And play along at home. You can have 10 for everyone you get right. Stuff to fascinate your mates with if they are real as well. Here we go.
Spiral staircases go the opposite way in the southern hemisphere than the northern hemisphere.
I love a spiral staircase.
Yeah, well, we've got one here.
We have, actually.
At our very own work.
Sometimes I just like to go up and down it.
What?
Because I do like them. Do you know what? I nearly rented a house once just on the fact that it had a spiral staircase, but then some other person beat me to it. You know, you have to get in quick when you're renting.
I've never really seen the point of spiral staircases.
I love them, me.
It just seems like an unnecessarily long way of getting from A to B.
I think it says...
just going round.
I think it says,
round.
I've got a classy house.
Yeah, but just, you know what I mean? Stop showing off. It doesn't need to be so long-winded.
So is it like off of the plug hole? Does it go the other way? Do they go the opposite way in the southern hemisphere?
I don't think so. No, I don't see why that would be the case. I'm going to say no real.
But it does in the plug hole, though.
It does in the plug hole, not on the spiral staircase.
Why would it be different, though?
I just don't think...
Would it not go around the other way, though?
Well, that's just a gravity thing. Whereas the spiral staircase is just a man-made... I'm saying no real.
That one is a no real.
There we go.
I was hoping to catch you out there, but it didn't work. And next...
Hippopotamonstro's sesquipedaliophobia is the fear of long words.
What?
I'm sure I heard hippopotamus in there.
You heard...
Hippopotamonstro's sesquipedaliophobia...
It's a tricky one, this, because you either know it or you don't you? It's a complete guess.
Fear of long words. But it does start off with hippopoto.
If you suffered from a fear of long words, you wouldn't be able to say that, would you? And you'd be scared of it.
Well, so you wouldn't need to say it, you just have it.
Well, they wouldn't give the fear of long words as a long-winded name, would they? That would be foolish, that would be counterproductive. I'm saying no real.
So you're saying...
Hippopotamonstro's sesquipedaliophobia...
is not what you call a fear of long words.
Yeah.
That one is real.
What?
Yeah.
So...
You can't amaze your friends tonight with that because you'll never remember it.
No, good point.
Unless you get the podcast. That is harsh, though, like having a... rub up your face or what? Like,
yeah.
Oh, I've got a fear of long words. Oh, here's a really long word to say what it is.
What do you suffer from? And then you've got to say that.
Next.
Cheerleading accounts for more athletic injuries than any other sport, averaging a total of 20,000 to 30,000 each year.
I can believe that. I wasn't aware cheerleading was a sport till I started at university, and I found out it was an actual official sport.
Yeah.
But a lot of it does involve throwing people around, doesn't it?
What?
And sort of being on people's shoulders,
Oh, actually, on the shoulders, I see that, yeah.
And when those those towers of people collapse, I imagine it you know, that's a lot of injuries all at once.
Potential
danger. It's like a domino effect. So I'm saying, yes, a lot of injuries can be done through cheerleading, which is a sport, and I'm saying real.
That one is real.
Yeah. Whoa.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. And it is a sport. Loads of people will be going, it's not a sport. It is a sport.
It's an actual sport.
Next.
Chesney Hawkes has performed his hit single, The One and Only, 23,582 times in the last 15 years.
No way.
I'm wondering who keeps count.
No
way. It must be the man himself.
It must be many more than that.
I would have thought it'd be more as well. Because he's playing that twice a set. I imagine he does it a lot, doesn't he?
When was that song out? Early 90s?
23. I mean, we're talking 23,000 times. That's a lot, isn't it?
23,582 times. I would have thought it would be more like 100,000.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I'm going to say no real.
Let's find out.
That one is no real.
Yeah. Mm. I'd quite like it if there was someone counting, though.
Yeah.
Next.
There are about 1,400 species of bacteria living in your belly button.
Oh, I hate these ones. Ming.
Oh. Well, I guess so. I mean, is this on an average person's belly button or specifically mine?
When was the last time you washed yours?
Well, I don't know. That's an odd question to be asking. I'm going to say real.
That one is real.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's gross.
And your last one.
There are more roundabouts in Milton Keynes than in the whole of Russia.
This is a great fact if true. I'm going to say real. I'm going to use this one tonight in the pub.
Have you been to MK?
I have, but I've never been to Russia.
True. But there is a lot in Milton Keynes.
How many is in Russia?
I don't know. The whole of Russia versus Milton Keynes. Real or no real?
Real.
That one is a no real.
And at the end of that, the scores are...
I got 40 points.
Congratulations.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, I think I might crack on with this Subo story now. It's only been 2.5 hours.
I'm very excited for this.
I felt that I built this up far too much. And it was on Twitter as well, like, hear what happened when Scott asked Susan Boyle to do a scene from Twilight. And I feel that now it's going to be a massive letdown. Whatever I say, however good the story is, we're waiting for ages.
It depends what you got her to do.
Well...
Which scene was it?
Okay, here we go.
One voice. One incredible story. One woman who inspired the world to never give up on their dreams. Ladies and gentlemen, Susan Boyle.
You ready?
Was that the intro?
Yeah.
So what scene did you get her to do?
Right, okay, so let me just go through this. So Nick Grimshaw on The Breakfast Show was doing a competition last week for you to meet Robert Pattinson if you're a Twilight fan. And you can meet him in London this week in a hotel. The competition is closed now, by the way. You had to get videos in where you had to recreate a scene from Twilight. That's what you had to do to win. Now, we came up with the idea last week of maybe... I mean, I didn't really want to win the competition, but I thought I'd have a go at it just to see if Subo would do it. So I thought, well, I know the scene where that girl is chased by wolves and jumps out of a tree. Now, Susan did have a few people there with her. I was at the lottery, by the way, presenting the lottery, and Susan Boyle was the guest on Saturday. That's why I was meeting her. So a few people there kind of looking after her, doing her hair, doing her makeup. And I did consider for a while asking them if Susan would agree, if I found a suitable tree outside Lottery HQ, if she would just jump out of it. But that seemed, as time went on, to be a definite, it wouldn't happen.
I'm sorry, you asked Susan Boyle if, for your video, she would jump out of an actual tree.
I was going to ask, but then it didn't feel right. You know when you just get a vibe off people of, like, she won't do that?
It didn't feel right, did it?
It didn't, no. Like, no. I seriously was going to ask. So then I thought, okay, plan B. Failing that, I thought we could do the scene where, you know, where Bella thinks she might be pregnant and goes up to the mirror and she says, I'm late, and looks at her tummy and wonders if she might be having a vampire baby while Arpax looks on. Now, I thought for that, she could be Bella, like looking at her tummy in the mirror. I'm thinking, well, Subo's going to have a mirror in her dressing room. If I just kind of walk in unannounced and say, would you mind doing it? I had a deal with the makeup lady where I was like, right, if she agrees to this, will you hover outside the dressing room with some white face paint so we can just slap it on her and then we can do the thing in the mirror, I'll be Arpax, Subo can be Bella, she can look at her stomach, go, I'm late, bosh, we've recreated a scene from Twilight. So the makeup lady and I are waiting, she's got the white face paint, mm-hmm. waiting outside her dressing room, says Susan Boyle, a big star on it. I'm like... Susan answers the door.
Oh, you didn't.
I didn't know. I just didn't just go poof with the face paint. Of course not. I was going to ask first.
Right.
But she had the argument face on again, and I was scared. And then someone goes, Susan, this is the presenter with the lottery tonight. His name's Scott. And she went, hello.
That's a great impression.
Nice to meet you. And I'm like, oh, I can't do this. She's got quarrel face on again.
So at that point, did you give thumbs up, face paint on?
No. I was like... I went back out to the makeup lady and went, it's not going to happen. So that was it. So I didn't get the scene, any scene,
sorry,
from Twilight.
So the result of this whole story is what? That you didn't recreate
okay,
any
right.
scene?
I was ready with the face paint, okay? I checked that there was a mirror in the dressing room, but then she did her scary, scowly, quarrel face. Hey, nice to meet you. And I was like, do you know what? She's never going to say yes to this. So off I went. I fled. With makeup lady trailing close behind. The end.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So that was Monday's fun. We will see you tomorrow, 1 till 4 on BBC Radio 1. And from 2:30, the man off of Man vs. Food, legend, Adam Richman. Or get the podcast.
Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.